Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, July 3rd, 2023, and I want to say in the very beginning, thank you so very, very much for 10 years of The Cross in the Desert. That's right. Today is officially my 10-year anniversary of this radio podcast, of this broadcast that began. My first show was on Independence Day in 2013. So it has been an awesome privilege to come to you for the last 10 years and be a voice for my dear Iranian friends. And thank you always for joining me and being a part of this very special 10 years. Now tomorrow, we as a nation, we celebrate our birthday, our liberation from the British. We had the Great Revolutionary War, of course, and we celebrate a thing called freedom. It is good to be free. We're still the greatest nation in the world, and although we still have to fight fiercely sometimes for our freedoms, we are still the greatest and freest nation in the world. Now, in saying that, you know what I'm probably going to say. My dear Iranian friends don't share in that freedom that we do. And that's why today, as I look forward to tomorrow, the 4th of July, as all of us look forward to that day, I am thinking of them and their continuous daily struggle for the freedoms that you and I take so granted for. And so I thought today the best way that you and I can celebrate Independence Day is to think about them. And the way I want to do this is really simple. 10 years ago, my program was on the 4th of July, and the first thing I talked about was my friends in Iran. I had just finished a groundbreaking book called The Rose of Nowruz. And that's what I'm going to do today. In light of what happened 10 years ago with the beginning of this broadcast, I'm going to share a very special story today from my latest book called Uprising, We Are the Revolution. And it's the story of Hadas Najafi's last day on earth as a young Iranian woman fighting for the freedom to wear or not wear the hijab. The title of this story from my book Uprising is called Hadas Najafi, Preparing for Battle. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to feel and see everything that I read as I describe this very brave young girl's last day on earth, fighting for the freedoms that you and I take so much for granted. Hadas Najafi entered her shift at the Dakota fast food restaurant at 5 p.m., and she clocked out. It had been a very busy afternoon as the lead cashier in one of the most popular cafes in the city of Karaj. The city of Karaj lay nestled up against the majestic foothills of the Alborz mountain range, a distance of just 6 miles from the capital city of Tehran. Karaj City was a haven for young students studying art and medical science at Azad University. For Hadas, being a student was not her passion in life. Instead, she was a dedicated social media geek. She loved to display the latest fashions on her Instagram account and treat her fans to Persian dancing on TikTok. Politics and religion didn't interest her. She spent her money investing in VPN. That is, overcoming the filtering of the internet so she could talk to her friends online every night. The Islamic Republic of Iran, along with the help of the cyber police, had blocked the major social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, YouTube, Instagram. The only way to overcome the government censorship was to purchase the virtual private network app. As Hadas left the restaurant and stepped out onto the sidewalk, she looked carefully in both directions to see if she could spot the morality police van. And then she ripped off her hijab and threw it down on the ground. "I hate that damn thing," Hadas muttered to herself. This evening, Hadas was not her cheerful self. She was not in a good mood. The tragic death of Mahsa Amini had tormented her mind all day. Dealing with impatient customers paying for their meals and complaining about the prices had just pushed her to the limit. She wasn't in the mood to listen to them, especially when a young Kurdish girl had been beaten to death by the morality police. Hadas had never been outspoken or political, but tonight was different. Every time she gazed at the picture of Gina Mahsa on her cell phone, lying comatose in a hospital bed, she couldn't hold back the tears. Deep down in her soul, she felt an irresistible urgency to seek justice for Gina. Hada felt it was her duty. It was her duty to humanity to be Gina's voice and scream loudly at the government's unjust murder of an innocent young woman. Hadas arrived at the bus stop and broke away from the crowd of people for a few moments. She quickly speed-dialed her friend Farzad. Darud Farzad, which is hi. Chitori, which in Farsi means how are you. Hi, how are you? I'm good. You just got off work, Hadas? Yes, I'm on my way home. Listen, I wanted to tell you, I'm going to join the protest tonight. I heard they will be out on Iran Boulevard. Hadas, are you crazy? You've never been political. I know, but I have to do this for Gina. I believe we have got to be her voice. Women have got to rise up and let this damn government know that we're not going to be oppressed anymore. We have the right to wear what we want to wear. Please be careful, dear friend. Hadas clicked off her cell phone and relaxed back in her seat, taking a deep breath. Tonight was Wednesday, September 21st. Wednesday was her usual night for doing live Persian dancing for her friends on TikTok. But that would have to be postponed. She would celebrate with her fans later, but tonight, that was exclusively reserved for Gina. Justice for Gina was weighing heavily on Hadas's mind, and nothing was going to stop her. Hadas walked through the front door of her home, exhausted but energized to go back out. She decided to change her clothes and grab a quick bite to eat before joining the protest. As soon as she entered the kitchen, her mother noticed her flowing blonde hair draping down over her shoulders and a frustrated look in her brown eyes. "Where is your hijab, Hadas? Didn't you wear it today? You must be so careful now these days." Hadas flopped down in a chair at the kitchen table and grabbed an apple to eat. "I threw that damn thing away. I hate it," Hadas answered back while munching on her apple. Mrs. Najafi sat down at the table across from her daughter with a worried look on her face. "Hadas, don't say that. You worry me. Look what happened to that Kurdish girl just last week." Hadas sat down the apple in front of her and stared back intently at her mother. That's why I threw my hijab away, Mom. I did it for Gina. I did it for every Iranian girl. We are so tired of being oppressed and told what to do. Mrs. Najafi sat quietly and took a nervous, deep breath. There was no arguing with her daughter. She was much too free-spirited and independent. Hadas quickly stood up from the table and dabbed her lips with a napkin. I must go out tonight, dear mother. There is going to be a protest on Iran Boulevard. I need to do this for Gina. Mrs. Najafi rubbed her hand across her forehead and bowed her head in fear for a few moments. Well, then she stood up and hugged Hadas. I understand, Hadas, but I am so worried. I am so afraid. It is so dangerous. Hadas gave her mother a reassuring look and kissed her softly on the forehead. I must do this, Mom. I will be careful. I promise I won't stay out very long. Hadas left the kitchen and hurried into her bedroom. She quickly changed into a pink tank top and put on a fresh pair of blue jeans. She flopped across her bed and turned on her cell phone. The first picture that appeared was that of Gina Mahsa Amini sitting in her living room last year, and she was sitting in front of a chocolate cake celebrating her 22nd birthday. Hadas smiled. It was one of the happier moments for Gina. Hadas was also 22 years old, just like her hero, who was cruelly murdered just a week before her 23rd birthday. Tears filled her eyes. She blew a kiss toward the picture on her cell phone screen. Tonight, I will be your voice, dear Gina, and I won't stop shouting until you get justice. Death to the dictator! Woman! Life! Freedom! The angry, loud shouts of protesters filled the cold night air on Iran Boulevard. It was just a few minutes before 8 p.m. as Hadas turned on her cell phone. She aimed the camera toward the protesters filing the streets. Just up ahead, she noticed a bonfire in the center of the street and watched several women setting their headscarves on fire. Running swiftly toward the scene, Hadas began narrating the live video that she was creating for her friends. This is a scene of women burning their hijabs, Hadas shouted out in laughter. You go, girls! In the distance, she heard sirens and more angry shouts of protesters chanting. Tonight, she felt energized. She was unafraid. She had never been at a protest before. But she remembered back to 2019 when more than 1,500 peaceful protesters were gunned down in the streets. At that time, she vowed, I'll never be political. I'll just mind my own business. But all of that suddenly changed with the death of Gina. Tonight was personal. Tonight she had to make a stand for the women of Iran. Tonight, she needed to do this also for herself. She had regretted for being so selfish and passive a few years ago. But that had all changed. Passing a local hardware store, Hadas paused, catching her breath, and spoke directly into her cell phone, continuing to film the protest. I hope in a few years, when I look back, I will be happy everything has changed for the better. I like to think that when I think back about this a few years later, I'll be pleased that I joined the protest. A few women following close behind her began chanting, Woman, Life, Freedom. They were carrying signs with a picture of Gina Mahsa Amini. At the bottom of the sign it read, We are all Mahsa. Hadas was excited to see that two young men were in the crowd of women chanting along with him. It was so encouraging her for her to see men involved in the uprising and defending the rights of women. Suddenly, the sounds of security forces yelling for protesters to halt or they would shoot startled Hadas. Beads of sweat began rolling down her face. She took an angry, deep breath and vowed once again, do not be afraid. Putting her cell phone in her pants pocket, Hadas stood still for a moment. She tied back her blonde hair into a ponytail and twisted a rubber band around it to hold it into place. An exhilarating feeling of courage surged through her body. Tying back her hair was like preparing for battle. Tonight, Hodges was making a bold statement to the government that she refused to comply with the man-centered hijab law. This was her hair, her body, and no man had the right to control it or tell her what to do. The security forces began clashing with the protesters and beating some in the heads with their batons. Instead of cowering in fear, Hodges closed her eyes, and in her mind's eye, she remembered back to her favorite movie, Braveheart. She could see the chilling scene where William Wallace was laying across the torture rack and the king pleading with him to recant and beg for mercy. She smiled, remembering the famous last shout from William Wallace's lips when he screamed, "Freedom!" The first shot terrified Hodges. She clutched her abdomen in excruciating pain. A barrage of shots immediately followed the first shot, sending frightened protesters scrambling for cover. Hodges collapsed backwards on the hard pavement, struck by five more bullets in the neck, chest, and face. The beautiful blonde freedom fighter lay dead on the street in a massive pool of blood. She had made her courageous last stand on Iran Boulevard in the city of Karaj, unafraid and unashamed to die as a martyr for freedom in the never-ending struggle against the gender apartheid in Iran. A few days after her tragic death, a video surfaced showing a young woman tying back her blonde hair and preparing to join the protest in Karaj. The video was attributed to Hodges just seconds before she was fatally shot. Although there is some controversy concerning the video being actually that of Hodges, nevertheless, it has been unanimously attributed to her as showing the final seconds of her life. Security forces refused to hand over Hodges' body to her family at the hospital until they signed a pledge stating that she died of natural causes. Devastated over her tragic death, a family member, who was a member of the Basij, that is the Iranian paramilitary, was finally granted permission to make a formal identification of her body. He verified that it was indeed Hodges and was horrified upon examination that she suffered at least 20 gunshot wounds in her body at very close range. Mrs. Najafi, even though being warned by security not to speak publicly about her daughter's death, declared, "My daughter was murdered for hijab, for Mahsa Amini. She wanted to keep Mahsa's name alive. Mahsa is also my daughter, and all those killed are my children. She died for Mahsa. She sacrificed herself for Mahsa." Shortly after her death, Hadis's sisters, Afsun and Shirin, published her photos and told people that she was shot, defying the government ban. I want to take a moment to reflect on this very brave Iranian woman's last moments of life. Hodges Najafi bravely took to the streets, understanding the great risk, and proudly declared her right as a woman to display her beauty, rejecting the mandatory hijab law. She died for the right to choose, the freedom to say no to a dictatorship government. In the last seconds of her life, she stood up for Mahsa Amini, an all-Iranian woman, when she tied her hair back and faced the firing squad. Jesus proclaimed in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." For more than 40 years, the Iranian people, especially women, have suffered greatly at the hands of a corrupt and controlling government. They have had their dignity stolen, their freedom suppressed, and their lives destroyed by satanic forces. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, who desires to gently lead and guide us, declares that the thief of our souls, Satan, has as his core mission to kill and destroy us. In contrast, Jesus promises to protect and provide for his people. His mission is to bring us life and life to the fullest. He came to bring you true hope and freedom. He promises to remove the shackles of your oppression and give you a life filled with meaning and purpose. This is one of the first stories after the story about Gina Massa Amini. In my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, a story of a very brave Iranian woman who, unafraid of an oppressive dictatorship government, went out on the streets, knowing it was dangerous, to say no. This is a woman that had no freedom, like all women in Iran, and instead of cowering in fear, she took a stand. I want us to remember that. On the 4th of July, on the celebration of our freedom, I want us to remember Hadas Najafi and what it cost her to stand up for that seven-letter word that so many people have died for, freedom. And right now, I want us to hear a very special song from Whiteheart about Independence Day. Let's listen. some powerful worship music from the band Whiteheart and Independence Day right here on the Cross in the Desert, an appropriate song for the story I just read to you. Now, there's an Independence Day meaning to this song that you might miss unless you listen carefully. It's talking about freedom, but the Independence Day that's mentioned here by Whiteheart and sung by them is that Independence Day when we're born again. When we become a new creature in Christ, a new person, we're given a new heart and a new spirit. And that Independence Day is that freedom from the oppression of sin that once dominated our lives. And that's kind of the Independence Day that they're speaking about here. But I want us to remember also the Independence Day about the story I just read to you. Hadas Najafi lived in a country where there was no freedom of choice for women. And she decided that it was worth the risk to go out and to make a statement and to do it knowing that it could be the last day of her life. And yet she bravely faced the firing squad. She didn't know, I'm sure, that she was going to be shot, but she knew there was a risk involved. And she is one among so many Iranian women that have said no to a government that oppresses them and says, yes, I will take the risk and stand for freedom. Please remember her family today in your thoughts and prayers. And remember that we as a nation, even though we have constitutional freedoms, one day, it's possible with the direction of this country that our freedoms could become non-existent. I want you to have a wonderful celebration, July 4th day. Stay safe. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the food. And remember the cost of freedom. Remember our military and those that are abroad. God bless you. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. I will see you again on Thursday.